Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Timberwolves, let's not do this again. It's 59-56, Wolves and Pelicans. All right, we talked a lot of football today, and guess what? It's going to be more football. Hey! Vikings are playing the Commanders on Sunday at U.S. Bank Stadium. It's 10-3 right now, Lions over the Dallas Cowboys with 10 minutes left to go in the second quarter. So I had a chance to catch up with Dane Mizutani of the Pioneer Press out at TCO Performance Center today, and we talked a lot about J.J. McCarthy and expectations. So here's that conversation.
Caller here with Dane Mizutani inside TCO Performance Center, where we just listened to a very, very interesting press conference from Kevin O'Connell. And there's a good place to start with one of his answers, which was I asked him about J.J. McCarthy and what he wants to see from J.J. McCarthy the rest of the way. And I expected, you probably expected, company line from what he's talked about a lot, which is techniques and fundamentals and things like that. But that was really not what we heard from Kevin O'Connell at all.
Yeah, I think, even talking to him this week, I think we've talked a lot about plenty of moments that you guys probably have logged away for eternity of fundamentals and technique and all those things. And I appreciate the questions and the interest and the understanding of the quarterback development process. But as I talked to him this week, it's purely about decision making at this point. And, there'll be time to ultimately, fundamentally focus on things and build, continue building kind of this layer of, a foundation that will be important for him into the future. But now it feels like between he's got enough experience, he kind of knows a lot of these principles that we've talked about. I want him to have a clear head and a clear mind to just go play, but play with an understanding of the decisions that I make with the ball in my hand, the decisions that I make as a passer, and as we've learned, very important as a runner to protect himself and make sure that we can keep him in there. All of those things have to be the utmost importance, because we've learned, our turnover number is where it is, and it's not a winning formula. And we've shown over the 4 years, to Mark's point, even when maybe other players had to step in, if we didn't turn the football over, we've had a chance to win a lot of those football games, and we have in the break even or better mark. And that kind of speaks to part of both questions in a lot of ways, but that would be it. Is I don't want him over thinking or worrying about if the fundamentals need to be changed, if they need to be adjusted, if we need more time on task on that. That's one thing. But let's just make the throws. Let's just throw and catch. Let's just play with great rhythm and understanding of the plan. And then the ultimate plan of our team on what it's going to take to win a game involves not giving the ball away to the other team.
Dane, what did you think of O'Connell's message to J.J. McCarthy?
Yeah, I think it's two-pronged. I think part of me thinks it was a moment of reflection from Kevin O'Connell, taking accountability for maybe breaking this kid's brain a little bit. Like, we've talked so much about technique, fundamentals, base, balance, foundation, like every buzzword under the sun. And like, I think there is probably an element when you look at the way JJ McCarthy has regressed, where Kevin O'Connell probably looks at himself and says, like, did we overload him with information to a point where he can no longer play football? So that was part of what I thought when he was talking. Like, maybe he feels like they've contributed to these struggles. A larger part of me, though, felt like it was him saying, stop. Enough is enough. We cannot move forward when we are turning the ball over the way we have been turning the ball over. And we being J.J. McCarthy. The way J.J. McCarthy has turned the ball over when he has been the quarterback of this football team has directly contributed to the struggles and the losses and just the debacle this season has turned into. So I think that's kind of where I was at when I was listening to that answer, is I expected when you asked that question for him to say, we're looking for his fundamentals to continue to improve. We're looking for feet and eyes to be in the right position. We're looking for posture at the top of his drop, all the things we've heard. And Kevin O'Connell acknowledged himself that you guys have probably all heard this before. You've taken a quarterback 101 class basically this year. And I feel like I know more about quarterback play than I ever have. But for him to just reduce it to the word decision-making, I guess that's two words. Maybe it's a hyphenated word.
Hyphen.
Decision-making. That's the word of the press conference to me. What does Kevin O'Connell want to see from J.J. McCarthy over the final 5 weeks of the season? Decision-making. Being smarter with where he throws the football, not throwing the football to the other team. So that speaks right now to where the Vikings are at. They need their quarterback to stop turning the ball over.
You know, I agree with this approach because throughout the beginning part of the season and throughout training camp, I think it was very fair of Kevin O'Connell to talk to J.J. McCarthy like a very young quarterback who is trying to get his fundamentals figured out in real time. And as much of a challenge as maybe they should have seen it coming, that would be for somebody who needed a lot of technical work, that's not this conversation. This conversation is really about the thought process of what we're taking away from the final five games, because that was really my question. It was sort of an open-ended, I know people want us to yell at them in press conferences, but a lot of times it's a better approach to just say, what are you looking for? And that was his answer. But I think it's a fundamental shift in how he's thinking about it as well, because now that J.J. McCarthy has been a Minnesota Viking for almost 600 days, it's time to play quarterback like a big boy. Like, this league does not have time for you to make mistakes that are catastrophic time and time and time again and take a ton of sacks and throw a ton of interceptions and fumble the football and whatever. It doesn't have time for that when you get to 4-8. Now, I think that patience early on made a lot of sense of, hey, it's his second start. Hey, it's his third start. Hey, it's his fourth start. So come on now, everybody, be patient. There's going to be mistakes. But when you get to the point where you can't even score and you are giving the ball away like crazy and you're losing games, and O'Connell knows that those W's and L's go next to his name on Pro mm-hmm. Football Reference and his legacy and everything else, it gets to the point where, all right, I'm not going to baby you along anymore. It's time to treat you like you are a pro quarterback with expectations of playing like a pro quarterback. So I didn't take it as much as a self-reflection from O'Connell. I took it as a shift to, this franchise is worth $7 billion or $6 billion. There are consequences. When you play like this, there are consequences. And one of those consequences might be you ain't the quarterback anymore if you give it away like this. Because I think we'd all agree that if J.J. McCarthy plays in the final five games like he's played in his first six games, he is not the quarterback in 2026. And I think that's the underwriting to that. That's the invisible ink below it, is basically, if you throw seven interceptions in the final 5 weeks, I cannot protect you into the future. Then it won't be you won't get a chance to show everybody your awesome new fundamentals next year, because nobody's going to trust you. So I know that's me putting a lot of words in his mouth, but I think that this change of how he's talking about it is also necessary. It's not just, hey, let's put the training wheels on and talk about it like that. It's take the training wheels off, and you better ride by yourself or you're going to crash into a ditch, and that's the National Football League for you. Sorry you're young.
Yeah, it feels like a challenge in a way, right? Like, here is, I was asked what I want to see over the last five games, and I'm putting it out there for everybody to hear, JJ McCarthy included. This is what I need to see over the last five games. Now, he didn't dive into the, if I don't see this over the last five games, here are the consequences. But there are some of those nuances layered into each answer. I mean, the way that we talk about this game is probably similar to the way it's talked about upstairs. It's probably similar to the way it's talked about in the locker room. It is unacceptable the way that the quarterback position has been played this year. And I think everybody knows that. I think JJ McCarthy knows that. Now, if he can't show marked growth over the last month of the season, yes, I think we will go down that path that maybe, certainly people will say, you're being too impatient. Well, like, the fact of the matter is the NFL is not a league of patience anymore. You could argue it never has been, but more now more than ever before, you need results immediately. And to be fair to the rest of the league, like, there have been results immediately. I know everyone's going to bring up, well, what about Josh Allen? What about Peyton Manning? What about those conversations that get brought up don't take into account that a lot of those people that you're using as your reference point, the people that are screaming, be patient, worst teams in the league when those quarterbacks arrive. This team legitimately expected, for better or for worse, whether it was a miscalculation or not, to be competing for a Super Bowl. And while the onus goes on everybody from the top down, from Kwesi Adofo-Mensah to Kevin O'Connell to coaching staff to leaders in the locker room to the 53rd man on the roster, it's not just one person's problem why this team has underachieved. There is an underlying issue of the quarterback play has been at a level that does not allow you to have success. And if it's like that for six games to start his career, historically bad start of his career, if it continues on to the final five games of this season, I think you're right. Like, does it mean they're going to trade JJ McCarthy and ship him away? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it'll probably be something where training camp is an open competition, where you have to earn the right to beat out whoever we bring in to be the quarterback of this football team next year. He can quiet that conversation by just balling out over the last five games. He can quiet a lot of the criticism, the doubters, the haters, like, by just playing quarterback at a high level over the last five games. The problem is we haven't seen anything that indicates that turn of the page is coming. We'll see. Like, now he has a chance in a softer part of the schedule against defenses that he should be able to get yardage and move the ball and put up stats against: the Washington Commanders this weekend, the Dallas Cowboys next weekend, the New York Giants the weekend after that. If you can't have success over the next three games against those teams that have had struggling defenses throughout this season, yeah, it might be over. So, yeah, today felt like, I don't know if it was the first time it was an open challenge, but it felt like a very intentional, this is what I need to see moving forward from you.
Well, and there was always reasons to preach patience early on, because he has the comeback win in week one, which is now against the Bears team that's won a lot of football games. So, okay, you won that game, and then you have a really bad game against Atlanta, and he repeatedly went back to the, it was a tough week for him, he didn't get a lot of practice, and he made the explanations or excuses for him having the game that they had against the Atlanta Falcons, and then he comes back and he wins against Detroit, and again, you have a bad game after that, and it's like, well, we need to work on the throwing, because that really was the main issue against the Baltimore Ravens. Some of the decision making was tossed in there, but really just the actual throwing was problematic. So, okay, well, it's just one bad game against the Ravens. If we win two out of four here, if he bounces back, then you could beat Chicago again, and you're still in the race, which is what I think everybody expected, including us, and I'm sure them, which was to have these rocky moments, but also have the upswings and stay in the race and stay in the hunt graphic and have a chance if this team loses and that team wins. Like, no one expected to get to this point, especially where they were against the Green Bay Packers, where you're just not competitive at all and you are getting completely run out of the building. And that's where there's a clear turn from, all right, we have brought you along as slowly as possible. O'Connell has stood up there, and I don't want to say he's made excuses for him, but he's given explanations for, well, he just needs to do that, and we're working on that, and it's coming along in practice. But at some point, you reach a point where now, and it's not just fans, but it's national TV and everything else, there's discussions happening on ESPN about whether Justin Jefferson should stay here and whether Kevin O'Connell should continue to be the coach. And, you know, they can talk about, and Wes Phillips can talk about all he wants at the podium. Oh, that's today's environment. There's 60 million people watching on Thanksgiving. I mean, these franchises cannot sit around like it's 1960 expansion team Dallas Cowboys with Tom Landry and wait for 8 years before you get to this point. And I also don't think that Tom Landry's Cowboys spent $350 million in free agency. Like, there are consequences to having a season like this. And I think O'Connell knows that it comes back to how the quarterback is played, which is why he's layered into a lot of his comments. In the past, we had these top 10 passing numbers, but now we do not. Basically saying, when I had good quarterback play, the quarterbacks were good. And when I haven't, then they haven't been, which is really then a, all right, JJ, like, go do it. Turn that corner, or, you know, there's going to be a different situation going on here in the future. And I thought that that came away loud and clear here. I guess we should answer my question, which is what we expect from J.J. McCarthy the rest of the way. Because it's certainly not fair to declare a guy's career after six games. Maybe after 600 days, it does get a little bit more like you know where you stand with this. But after 600 or six starts, there's still possibilities of improvement. Do you think that if J.J. McCarthy was safer with the football? Remember, he has the number one average depth of target in the league. So he's throwing farther down the field than anyone in the NFL. If he is more deliberate with the football, can he win them back over these last five games?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think he can, because the options are not good. If you dive into what will they do this offseason, if J.J. McCarthy is proven to be somebody that needs competition. Like, you go down the list of free agents that are going to be available, you look at trade candidates, you look at the veteran quarterbacks that are out there, like, it's nobody that's making you jump for joy. So, yeah, I think he could win them over the last five games. But that's where I go back to what I said earlier. Like, nothing suggests to this point that he's going to hit the next level in his progression, because I haven't seen – like, a steady upward trajectory. If anything, I've seen a downturn in the way he's played the position because that maybe he's thinking too much. Maybe there's too much going on in his brain. Maybe he's reading what social media is saying about, like, it's hard to be a quarterback in the NFL on the field. And it's really hard to be a quarterback when you're struggling in the NFL off the field. Like, there are a lot of criticisms and a lot of things that get brought to kind of light in your worst moments. How do you respond to that? I'm not sure he's responded to that in the best way over the last month and a half or so. But I think if he can move forward, starting this Sunday against a pretty bad Washington Commanders team that's lost 7 in a row, and you can stack a game on Sunday, and then you can go into Dallas, who they're dangerous, but their defense is still gettable in some ways. It's improving. And if you can stack that game and on top of the Washington game, then if you can go to New York, and it's going to be probably cold at the Meadowlands, but the Giants stink. That might be one of the worst teams in the NFL that isn't in the same kind of category as where the Vikings find themselves right now. If you can just start with 3 games and then take your chances against the really motivated Detroit Lions and then probably the really motivated Green Bay Packers, I think if you can show glimpses enough, like maybe you could set yourself up in a way. I think I referenced the Detroit Lions one time on the postgame pod. Do you remember that year where they just sucked? But then there was an upward trajectory at the end of the year, and everybody remembers the line from Dan Campbell going into the finale against the Packers, why are you playing your starters? Well, because we don't want them to get in either. It felt like that was a watershed moment where the Detroit Lions figured something out, something clicked over the last month, and you even at that time looked at them and said, they're probably going to be pretty good next year. It needs to be that. It needs to be so drastically different than what we've seen so far. But do I think they can win? He can win them over? Yes. I don't think it's over. I don't think the team looks at him or the front office or the coaching staff looks at J.J. McCarthy and says, we cannot fix him.
That was Dane Mizutani, the Pioneer Press, and myself out at TCO Performance Center earlier today. If you want to hear that entire conversation, Purple Insider. Also, the newsletter, purpleinsider.football. You can check that out as well. YouTube, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. The Detroit Lions have just run for a touchdown after recovering a fumble. And now this thing starting to stretch out the lead here, 17-6 with the extra point. Also, the Wolves, what are we doing here? 62-62 with the 3-19 New Orleans Pelicans. Not exactly the way that we expected that to go. Let's take a quick break. And I have a question about going to the movies for Chris Tubbs when we return. Matthew Collar in for Henry Lake.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go
so
to the lobby.
So something that I'm doing here in the month of December is going to see Phantom of the Opera. It's playing in town. I'm very excited about this.
It's great. It's a great show.
Is it? Okay.
Oh, I saw it years ago. My 15-year-old saw it 2 nights ago. It's good.
That's awesome. I've never seen it before. I mean, I'm familiar with the idea, and I'm familiar with the song that everybody knows. I know that.
Yep.
But I know nothing else about it, so please no spoilers for a show that's been around forever. No spoilers, please, on Phantom of the Opera. But I've been now to a number of shows here in town, whether it's concerts or if it's, plays like this. Went to Les Miserables last year. That was pretty good. Saw Jack White in St. Paul. That was incredible.
Oh, Jack White would be incredible.
Absolutely fantastic. Saw Green Day at the Target Field. That was fun. Mm-hmm. So I've done a lot, here in town. But one thing I have not done since 2019 is gone to the movies. And I lost my inspiration for this during COVID. People weren't going to the movies then for good reason. And then as movies started to come back, I feel like the movie industry has not grabbed me and brought me back. And then I also feel like when you go to a concert or you go to a show, there is a certain decorum that everybody tends to follow along with. But in the movies, the last couple of times that I went left a lasting impression of people on their phones
all the time. Now, if you're on your phones at a concert, that's understandable. That's part of, you know, people recording stuff.
Part of the experience.
If you're not recording the whole show and you're just recording maybe part of a song or something, that's fine. People recording the whole show are obnoxious, but you can usually ignore them. In a movie, it's incredibly distracting. People talking and whatever is, of course, the worst. But the phones are the worst. Let me just check my phone or scroll social media in the middle of a movie. Like, stop it. I'm trying to watch the movie. So, and then the availability of movies at home where you could just buy them on my TV. Hey, this is in theaters right now, or you could pay $20 to just watch whatever. I haven't gone and I haven't felt like I wanted to go back. There's a couple of movies that are killing it right now. Wicked is one, and then Zootopia 2. The first one was fun. Maybe the last time I went to the movies was Zootopia 1. Are you a movie guy? Did you go back to the movies post-COVID?
Yeah, we go to the ones that, it's mostly the ones that my daughter wants to see. And yeah, we went to Wicked for Good. We just went to see that a couple of weeks ago. So we were just there and I enjoy it. You know, it's an experience. That's kind of what it is at this point. But, you know, like you said, when you've got this on demand and everything is available at home, along with being at the theater, I think it's more for families. And if you've got kids and they're really excited about seeing something, like, you have to go because it's an experience. But if you're an adult, it's like, you know what? We can kind of wait.
The cost of stuff also is changing my life. The cost of movies is bananas. It's so expensive. I mean, the cost of everything. I went to a pizza shop the other day just for a pizza, come away with like $40 before any sort of tip. Like, what didn't Little Caesars used to sell these for $5? And now you're paying $40 if you want to add a Diet Coke to it.
Mm.
So I think that's
five
also,
topping, yep.
That has also influenced it where it's like, would I rather go to a show that is touring, that has unbelievable talent and is really, really just like next level, a breathtaking experience, or a movie that's just okay and the price is not that different? That's probably influenced me as well. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got developments in the sport. Right now, the Lions are up 17-6, but the Cowboys are moving the ball. And don't do this again, Wolves, is sort of happening right now. 70-70 between the Wolves and the New Orleans Pelicans. Let's have a brief Anthony Edwards discussion when we return. Matthew Collar in tonight for Henry Lake. Timberwolves are doing it again. They're losing to the New Orleans Pelicans.
Playing with their food.
The Pelicans are 3-14. No, 3-19.
3-19.
They do not have Zion Williamson.
No, they do not.
Who has played about as many NBA games as I have. He's been injured his entire career. And is, I think, one of the bigger disappointments of the last 10 years in the NBA.
Well, he was supposed to be a Cam Mills coming out of Duke. I mean, there was all this talk about, oh, man, he's got to go to New York, Zion and the Big Apple. Like, it'd be great. And people were upset when Zion went to New Orleans. And if he was in New York, he'd be getting his ass chewed out right now by that media.
You know, people never really give LeBron enough credit for being the chosen one and as hyped up as he has. But he's not the only person who ever was. I mean, like you said, Zion Williamson was must-see TV, guaranteed lock superstar, number one overall draft pick, supposed to just completely turn the NBA on his head. And when he actually plays, he's pretty darn good. But it shows you how hard it is to live up to that hype. And I guess JJ McCarthy does too, that there's so much in this world of whether it's number one overall baseball players who get injured and don't live up to their hype. Not that we would know much about that. And, you know, all the NBA players along the way who have been drafted at the top and have been anointed as the next this, the next that. When I was growing up, it was constantly the next Michael Jordan. And now for the last probably 4 or 5 years, it's the next Mahomes. Hey, they're drafting a really athletic guy, you know, who's got some questions about him coming out. Oh, he's like Mahomes. He runs around and makes plays.
See, I hate that because you're putting the undue pressure on these players. It's like, okay, yeah, he's got that gunslinger mentality. Well, do you really want to be compared to Brett Favre or Patrick Mahomes? Because if you're not, if you don't reach that level of success, then
you can't have a good NFL career. You can't have a good career if you don't reach the same heights as LeBron James does.
Well, and that's a thing for sure where you have to call every player generational to get clicks or to get people to watch, I guess.
Buzzwords.
The extremism that has carried over from politics over into sports coverage, where it feels like you have to be the loudest and the most convicted in your take, but also maybe the most ridiculous person in the room. I mean, Caleb Williams is a great prospect. They treated him like he was the next Peyton Manning level prospect. He wasn't. If you watched at USC, he had very serious flaws, which still show up for the Bears and probably will ultimately get them when they get to the playoffs. And he's still developing and may be very, very good someday. But they treated him as if he was just the next greatest quarterback of all time. And they did that to Trevor Lawrence as well, as if these guys are absolutely flawless. Can't miss, no way. And out of all of those players in my lifetime, I mean, there's a handful that have actually turned out to be as great as they were advertised. And LeBron is at the top of that list, but Zion is one of the biggest, I would say, players that are disappointing. By the way, it's 17-9. The Lions are leading the Cowboys. The Lions are moving the ball here after a long field goal by Detroit or by Dallas. But something interesting is that Detroit's kicker got hurt on a kick return earlier in the game. So now there's kind of all eyes on him if he has to kick a field goal here. Like, is he going to be okay? Because he actually went to the locker room or the injury tent. So that's a developing storyline. Very entertaining first half, though, 17-9.
Well, there. And if there's a team that wouldn't need a kicker, it would be the Detroit Lions because of their propensity to go for it. Now, I know they've only had like a 52% success rate. Okay, looks like John Bates is back on the sideline.
Yeah, he's back on the sideline, but is he okay would be the question.
It's a little rope-a-dope.
Well, there's only 17 seconds left in the half, so will they kick a field goal here? Or, like you said, are they going to get super aggressive so they don't have to because their kicker's hurt? We'll find out. The Timberwolves are still losing, 81-76 to this putrid team. And Anthony Edwards, at this moment, after having an incredible finish to the game the other night, has 6 points in 19 minutes and is on the bench for a lot of this with 4 fouls. And Anthony Edwards is an incredible player. He's an incredible superstar. He has great numbers again this year, scoring almost 30 points a game. But tonight is one of the things that always holds me up with Anthony Edwards. And this is not to say that he's anything short of a megastar that can take a team to a Western Conference Finals in back-to-back years. Like, I have all the respect for how great he is, and I'm not down on Anthony Edwards. But the one thing that sometimes gets me with him is a night like this, where he has this phenomenal, breathtaking performance the other night, unbelievable takeover of the game. He won't allow the coaches to take him out because he's going to put the game on his shoulders and go win it. And then here we are in the third quarter against one of the league's worst teams, if not the worst. And he's got 6 points in 19 minutes and 4 turnovers. This is as bad as you can play as a star. It feels like there is too much of that from him. Like, if we were just doing some sort of
way too inconsistent
timeline of complete effort from Anthony Edwards, it's hard. He plays every game. I give him a ton of credit for that. He plays every single game. You will not see Anthony Edwards taking these too many of these days where you get, you know, a rest day or whatever. Even something like this. This could have been a rest day for Anthony Edwards. He's playing in the game. I give him full credit for that. But it's three quarters of a game where you feel like he isn't there. Or it's a night, and everybody has off shooting nights, but it's a night where you feel like he's not impacting the game. And that could be on both ends. And he's gotten better defensively, but it still is not impacting the game all the time. It feels like it's in put the gas pedal down or it's on the e-brake sometimes. Is he out there for 2.5 quarters in a game? And then, oh, now he's going to go and put the gas pedal down. We correctly predicted that Detroit would be aggressive and throw down the field here, but they are going to kick a field goal after they got a penalty. Or Dallas got a penalty for a pass interference.
And, well, it makes it a little more manageable. But you're talking about Anthony Edwards and the inconsistency. That's been the big thing for, you know, for Anthony, especially this year. I think people are looking for the Wolves. How are you going to follow up two consecutive Western Conference Finals appearances? How are you going to do that? Anthony Edwards is a superstar. He's one of the faces of the league, but yet you can't take those nights off. I don't care if Chris Finch says that he's bored, you know, this team is bored. The Timberwolves are not good enough to just be able to walk into the Smoothie King Center and flip a switch, because you can't do that. Like, this team is not Oklahoma City. They're not even the Pistons this year. So I feel like you need these, like the Iron Sheik said, you got to be humble. The Wolves, they got humbled the other night. I really thought that they would have learned. I really thought that they would have learned, because here's a chance to apply the lesson, and apparently they didn't take the notes.
47-yard field goal en route, and it is good, just barely good. He kicked the heck out of that ball. So 20-9, Detroit Lions leading the Dallas Cowboys going into halftime. That's a really darn good half from the Detroit Lions as they fight for playoff position. Yeah, I think that you're right about the overall effort of this team seems to be hot and cold. And it's the same players that they brought back from last year. And this is the same team that turned a corner last year in the middle of the season and then got extremely hot and went to the Western Conference Finals. So we have to give them their due credit for that. And it's also so hard to judge NBA teams, NBA players, because it's such a long season. So you can have these two games where you allow the New Orleans Pelicans to stay in because you're just not putting in every bit of
you're not effort interested.
And focus. Right, and you've got so many games. But I don't think that that's a very good excuse. I mean, the Smoothie King Center or whatever is not exactly an intimidating venue. This team is horrible. Just blow them out and go home. And instead, as you mentioned, playing with their food is a good way to describe it, playing with down to their competition with some of these bad teams. It's a little frustrating because you feel like these are the games where they should have exciting big performances and blow them out and prove kind of who they are. And they just have not played at the type of a level that I would expect from a Timberwolves team coming off of where they have been. And a lot of that does circle back to Anthony Edwards. Right now, I mean, they're a 13-8 team. They have the sixth or fifth best, maybe, point differential in the West. It all looks fine. It doesn't look good, though. And Oklahoma City is 21-1. I mean, are you going to play at that level at some point? That's where you'd like to see Anthony Edwards decide, yes, we are, every single night. And we just haven't seen that yet.
No, we haven't. And yeah, you can talk about, well, okay, you know, we're not really interested. We're kind of bored. You got to get your poop in a group now, because these are the games that when you look back in April and you're trying to figure out where you're going to be playoff wise, if there's a game or two difference between being the 4 seed or the 5 seed or even having to miss the play-in, you know, you got to be the top 6.
Right.
These games against New Orleans, yeah, you got away with one, but you might not get away with this one. And that's going to be one you're going to say, man, I really wish that we would have had it. You have it right there, Wolves. You just got to take advantage of it.
It also just feels like
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
If the team that won the championship last year is 21-1, why can't you get motivated? Can you really say that you're bored when you haven't won a championship yet? I would just like to see that light be on all the time, like not go on and off as it feels like it is for Anthony Edwards. And Chris Finch tonight may be sending a bit of a message, playing a lot of the bench. Dillingham is out there. Shannon has been out there quite a bit.
Yeah. That's what you need. That's what you need.
Well, they need somebody to go out there and play hard.
I think guys get complacent. Guys get kind of. They get comfortable. Sometimes you got to make guys uncomfortable.
We have got, there's a joke there that I won't make. 0-0, the Minnesota Wild and Calgary Flames. Now there's a club that knows how to put in the effort. All right, let's take a break. We'll put a bow on the show. All right, let's end the show with some small talk about the weather. I was not prepared for this level of cold. I was standing, getting ready to cross the street with another human being earlier tonight to walk into the studio. And one of those wind whips came through. You know how they do with downtown here. It just feels like...
Oh, because you're a wind tunnel.
Yeah, it becomes a wind tunnel. And I just thought, I wasn't ready. I don't know why. I mean, it's December. It's Minnesota.
You grew up in the cold. You've been here for years.
I know I've been here for years. It's year 10 for me here. You're right. I've grown up in the cold, but I was not prepared for this level of cold. What I needed is a slow, gentle settling down into winter. It feels like, so one night.
You got to be the old man sliding into the bubble bath.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. That's you going into winter.
Yes, right. Yeah. I was thinking more of just like, I don't know. Maybe I don't have a metaphor for that. But I was walking the dog and it was, I don't know, 48 degrees and sunny the other day. And I was like, this is nice. And there's a bunch of people who are senselessly raking their leaves and wasting their life doing that when it's just going to get covered by snow and you're going to mow it in the spring. But, you know, people are out and they're saying hello. Oh, that's a nice dog you have. Oh, great to see you. And then it's zero. It just happened too fast. Mm-hmm. I was not ready for it. And so we have all these clothes for the dog.
Oh, you're one of those.
No, I'm not one of those. It has to be. He's a greyhound. And anybody who knows the dog breed, they don't have really any fat on their bodies. They are built for power and speed.
Right.
So they don't have thick hair. They have very, you know, very thin hair. So you have to get him a coat. And now he's got a sweater and a coat and a dog snood. You know a snood that comes up over your neck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a doggy snood. So now every time we take him out, he's also got boots. So now every time you take him out, you got to put on his shirt, his sweater, his dog snood.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.